Kia ora and welcome to another exciting episode of Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night at Planet FM 104.6 or live streamed at planetaudio.org.nz. I am Georgia. I am back. I've been away for a couple of weeks and Marianne's been sailing the ship by herself and I've missed her dearly. And now she is away tonight on doing one of her own projects. She's writing her play, which I'm so excited to see and to fully hear about. So when we're all back, and she's going to be writing solo again next week, but we'll both be here the following week, and I was going to say grill, but that's probably not the right word. I'm going to ask her lots and lots of questions about that because I'm super excited. That song that we started with was Misbehaviour, which is one of the singles off the brand new Dead Favours album. And we do have Kyle from Dead Favours here. Welcome to the studio.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the new album came out on Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
How does it feel to finally get it out?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, it's when you spend 3 years writing something.
3 years?
Yeah, multiple trips to Australia to record it and countless days in the studio to get it done. And yeah, it's finally here. It's finally all polished off and you guys get to hear it. It's daunting, though. When you finally release something, and of course we've heard it so many times now, it becomes like your thing only, you know, and
yeah.
To finally release it and have people listen to it is quite a humbling and nerve-wracking experience.
Yeah, how have you found it so far the last couple of days?
Good, actually, we've had such great feedback and everyone seems to come back with their own personal favourite of the album, and I think every song's been named, so
that's awesome.
We must have done something right. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. But I've given the album a couple of listens, and even before I knew that you were coming on, just because like, I'm a big fan, and it's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much.
Do you have any shows coming up?
Yeah, we have a national tour next month. So Christchurch twice, then Dunedin, Wellington, Palmerston North, and Auckland. But and the Mount actually, but most of it sold out. So I think Palmerston North, the Mount in Auckland, you'll be able to get to.
Is that a headlining tour? Or is that the one that you're doing with Villainy?
That's the one you're doing with Villainy,
which
yeah.
is going to be awesome. Just yeah. little cheeky side note for my own gain. I work for Smokey Rockwest, which is the coolest job in the world. And at the Auckland show, Villainy have given us a slot for one of our bands to support. The show, so they're going to open up before Dead Favours play and then Villainy play, and it's going to be totally awesome, so everyone should go buy tickets, and it's an all ages show as well, so like bring the kids. I'm going to like be there with a bunch of Rockwest kids and we're going to like dance. It's going to be great.
Yes.
I think we're bringing a 3-year-old. It's at the power station and she's been before, so you can't, yeah, there's not many 3-year-olds that can go to daycare and say they went to a show at power station before, you know, so if she can be there, then yeah, no excuse not to bring your little one out.
Yeah, totally, sure, that's going to be a really good one. And Villainy Villainy great, that's going to be a great show. And also I saw you play at a Rockwest gig a couple of weeks ago in Whangarei, and
that's
I was
right,
really
yeah.
blown away.
Oh, I think it was a very short set, but it was a good time.
Yeah, and J-Bell, the singer, he does like some good little tricks. Like
yep.
he did this big, like he was like standing on an amp, and
he
was,
does,
like, quite
yeah.
exciting. And then he did like this most delicate kind of little leap off the end,
yep.
and it was just quite beautiful.
The thing about it is, I've never tried it myself. The things he jumps on, I mean, we're in Wellington once, and we were touring with a band called Royal Blood,
mm-hmm.
and I think the arena packed in like 3,500 people, and I've got this footage of him jumping onto the dodgiest little amp and you could see his foot slip and his whole weight shifted and he was about to fall, but he stuck it in there and made it work, and I just would never have the guts to try and fail in front of that many people. So no, definitely I have to give him props for doing that. It's incredible.
He's
yeah.
got some good balance.
Nimble. Yeah.
I took a video of him doing like standing on this amp, and then I got the end for the little delicate jump, so I just cut the end off with a little bit so it looks like you don't know how he's going to fall.
Yeah.
Made it a bit dramatic.
Yeah, know, and luckily he does. He's been on keto, so it's never really our gear, you know, like a lot of the time it's backline, and he'll jump on anybody's stuff, so maybe I shouldn't be doing it, actually. I'll leave it to him. It's probably a weight limit.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll definitely play a couple more songs off the new album during the show. If people want to listen to it, though, it is on all main streaming platforms.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the internet. Like, by now, like, all of us know how to find music online, but Spotify, if you prefer Apple Music, it's everywhere. Just go to our Facebook page or to our website and you'll find it. It's easy enough.
You've got a great Instagram game as well.
Oh, yeah, that's Charlie, yeah.
He's a drummer, yeah.
Yeah, although I've been told that it's not very cohesive. Like, a lot, you know how you have those people, and they're probably more often than not a photographer where everything's graded uniform, you know, and everything's got a theme, but no, we just...
You're rock and
chuck
roll.
It on there, attacked. Yeah, yeah. Which,
I feel
just
like
goes up.
That's so much more purist, though.
I know.
Like, you're just feeling it, putting it out there instead of having to have like a whole image.
And usually we're I mean, like half a bottle of tequila in or something, you know, and it's always in different states of aesthetic pleasingness, I suppose you could say. Where some of the photos are those, you know, those blurry ones where you'd expect to see a UFO in them because it's. It's aptly, I suppose it works for the scene and the situation we were in, you know, so, yeah, it's cool.
It's good,
it works.
Fun.
Yeah, it's good. I should do it more, actually.
I enjoy it as a consumer of your Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. And those voices that you just heard before were the voices of Kahurangi and Alicia. Kahurangi, welcome to the show, and Alicia, welcome back to the show.
Kia ora.
How are you
Thank
going?
You.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're great.
And you are here to tell us about a show that is coming to the Basement Theatre this week.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, next week, our opening night is the 2nd of July, and we are the first up for the Matariki season for the Basement this year, so that's pretty exciting.
Yay. Could you tell us a bit about the show that you're bringing to the Basement?
Yeah, sure. Aroha, the show is called Aroha is a Māori, though she calls herself Aroha. She, I think, firstly comes across as not so relatable, a little bit annoying, but preppy and perky and sees the world through those awesome rose-tinted glasses. But hopefully, as the show goes on, people will... be endeared to her. Like, she's kind of just like everyone, trying to find a place to belong in the world. And she is actually really brave and courageous and resilient. And it's a play that I wrote, about sort of like the struggle of when you're from a minority and you have that feeling that you have to always be defending your race or like a whole type of people. And sometimes I'm Māori and sometimes I feel the need to defend my fellow Māoris, because sometimes the stereotypes aren't so amazing or great. And it can get to that point where you get quite hopeless and upset and you kind of go around feeling really defensive all the time. Like, I'm ready to school someone on how to act around, like, and not be racist. And it's not actually a very fun way to live, you know. You don't, you can get really down. So this is a comedy, actually. It's not. So it's a way of sort of sharing these ideas, but through comedy and through... hopefully a really relatable girl, young, naive thing. Yeah, so there you go. I could keep talking about it, but...
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, Alicia, what is your involvement in Aroha is a Māori?
So I'm producing Aroha is a Māori, and it's really cool because, we talk a lot about what happens when society puts you in a box and the box rejects you, and this kind of explores that whole... thing that Aroha doesn't necessarily fit in with a stereotypical Māori context, nor does she fit in with a non-Māori context. So yeah, producing the show, but it's real cool actually because Gabby from Basement kind of just hooked us up, hooked Kahu up with my email, and as we do, set out iwi when we sent out emails, and I was like, oh, what's your marae? She's like, oh, tuki kapu, and that's my marae as well.
So we're totally related.
Yeah. It's accidentally turned into a family production.
Absolutely.
Because Kahu's sister's directing it as well. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's all in the whānau. Absolutely. So it's pretty cool. And my dad's really stoked. He's like, yeah, you guys are whānau. It's the your ancestors bringing you together to work on this show. So that's pretty cool because I don't live in Auckland. I live in Ohakune, which is in the central North Island, just below Maruapehu. And Alicia obviously lives in Auckland, and Amaria, the director, lives in Christchurch. So it's a whole like nationwide affair.
Yeah.
But coming to Auckland for 5 nights, oh yeah.
How has that been to bring everything together when everybody's spread apart?
Well, thankfully, I did a show in March called My Career, and one of our cast members lived in Queenstown, and the other one lived in Wellington. So it's not an unfamiliar territory for me, but you know, there's things like FaceTime and Kahu's flown down to Christchurch, and yeah, so it all works out in the end.
It's been a lot of traveling for me especially, but my son Freddie's here with us today.
Hello.
He's been missing me a little bit, so he got to come on the trip to Auckland this weekend.
It's
we went and saw Pokemon
today.
Great
to meet you.
Yeah.
G'day, mate.
Yeah.
But it's a one-woman show, so that helps. That we, you know, there's not having to interact with any other actors.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That helps a lot.
Though we will be, shall we tell them what's happening at the end of it? It's going to be awesome.
Please tell us.
So we...
Top secret.
We really want to... I want people to go away from the show maybe being just a little bit more culturally conscious, maybe just being a little bit, like having a little bit more of an idea about privilege and the way that it all affects everybody. And so at the end of the show, there is actually going to be a panel and like the audience participation, just having discussions about the issues that come up in the show and wanting to, you know how you go away from a theatre show if you've ever been, and whether you love it or hate it, you always have a comment about it and about like the themes in it and how it relates to you. So your prejudice might not necessarily be about race. It might be, you know, everyone thought I was good at maths because I wore glasses. And I wasn't, you know, and it's like, you
I
know, that. so it could, it's just everyone's
I
got.
Yes.
You are very good at maths, Freddie.
Nice.
Just everyone has had an experience with some sort of prejudice in their life, whether it's because you're the super pretty girl, and so people just don't really like you because they're like, oh, well, you know, you're unrelatable or whatever it is. So
like stereotypes and stuff, but it's real cool to have the panel. Asking questions like
that one kid.
asking questions like, can you think of a time when you should have spoken up about someone being like saying something racist or something? So we'll be featuring on the first panel of the first night. We have some special guests, but we won't say who they are now. You'll have to find us on Facebook. us on social media, just with Aroha's Māori.
Yeah.
And we'll be releasing those other panellists. But yeah, it's really cool because I think especially I've been to shows where I've kind of wanted to ask the director or someone a question that I didn't quite understand, so that also is an opportunity to for the audience to be like, what was this about?
Yeah, and I feel like everybody has had a time that you wish you had said something and you didn't, and it almost haunts you.
Yeah.
Like, you think about it a lot, and like, if I had that over again, I would stand up to that person and I'd say this. And I feel like I remember stuff like that from when I was like a kid. Like, it literally stays with you. So this would be that opportunity for people to share their experiences and hopefully bring us closer together and, like I said, just be a bit more culturally conscious, whatever that is to you. Yeah.
That is such a fantastic idea with the panel discussion. I wonder, like, all the time when I go and see stuff and then I leave and then I've got my interpretation of that, and I think it would be so, like, shifted, like, round, you know, more well-rounded having the opportunity to actually have a discussion after that about, you know, how that, why, how the process all came together and what the goals were and this is cool idea.
So I watched a show a couple of weeks ago, and like I think people assume because I like dabble in theatre that I like understand everything, but no. Like I wish I knew the director so that I could talk about it, or I always have like a massive yarn about the content afterwards anyway, so it's like a cool space. Like it's cool for the audience, but it's cool for us as well to get to know everyone a bit more, you know?
Yeah, cool. So is this the first inception of this play?
It is. This is the first time it's going to be presented. And we do hope to take it to other centres and things, but right now really just came from the idea I had in December. I saw that the Matariki season was coming up and that submissions were coming forward, and I was like, oh, I've had this character. I have, you know, dabbled in her a few times. She comes so naturally to me. that's a bit of sass there from my 11-year-old. But yeah, this is going to be the first time. So we're opening night is the second Tuesday, the second, and we're going through till Saturday the 6th. So,
and it's also the first show of Basement's Matariki season. So, you know, really.
Such an honour. Such an honour.
Yeah, it actually is. There's so many amazing
Basement
artists.
Is amazing. I love the Basement. Yeah. Such a cool venue.
Absolutely.
I would absolutely, for anybody who is a writes theatre or has an idea that they want to make into a show, the Basement is about like helping emerging people who might not have put on many shows before, helping with that marketing, what you're supposed to do, putting you together, like me and Alicia came together because of the Basement, and they will really nurture your strengths as well as find help for your weaknesses. So it's an incredible thing, and they do like the Christmas submissions, and then they've got the Matariki, and I'm sure they've got lots of other ones that I'm not quite sure on right now. But yeah, definitely I would say, if you've got a great idea and you are willing to put in the work and want to put something on, tell a story, school people, then, yeah, Basement would be an awesome place to start.
And speaking of cool venues, coming Saturday to the Point Chev Library is the Art Street Fair, and here to talk about it we have Maria. Welcome to the studio.
Hi.
How are you going?
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I'm very well.
Good weekend.
Great. Very busy preparing for the art show.
Yes. Could you let us know what it's all about? It sounds like there's a lot happening.
A lot happening. And it's actually outside the Point Chev Library, so it's an outdoor event, which is challenging because of the Auckland's weather. And instead of postponing it, we decided to bring it to Arcade in case it rains heavily. Mm-hmm. But if not, we're just going to cover it with plastic sheets and... We're against plastic, but we're going to read
the show
anyway.
Will go on.
Yeah, show must go on.
People can bring a raincoat.
Yeah, people have to. And you can enjoy art in such a different way.
Yeah.
So the art show is going to be on temporary fencing, so which is quite different from your usual Velcro panels that you go to, you know, school exhibitions and you see this. Not really nice Velcro panels, you know. So I decided to look for something different, and temporary fencing sounds like a good idea, I think. And it doesn't take away a lot from the art. So we've got 15 artists now, lots of artists from Point Chev, which is great. So we're kind of focusing on area and getting local artists to participate. And then if we move to Kingsland, we'll focus on artists from Kingsland and so on. We've got a few coming from Hibiscus Coast, and so far it's been very good, and artists really thankful for having something like that that is quite easy to participate and free of charge, and there is no middleman, there is no cut from their artwork sale. So we're going to have some musicians playing as well, so it's going to be quite nice, interactive, chilled atmosphere. The whole idea of this festival is I grew up in Kazakhstan, and I'm from Almaty, and there is a pedestrian only street, and it's called Arbat, and in that street you've got artists lined up on the both sides of the street, And so every day, me and my friend, we would go through that street to school. And it's just something that I really miss, because you can interact with artists just straight. And they're always there. They just have a big community of supporters. And I decided that it's going to be a good idea to bring it to New Zealand and have something like that. And I've been here for 7 years now. Yeah, so we'll try, see how it goes. It's our first year. Mm. So hopefully it will grow in something very good and great thing for art.
Who is it who is putting on the street fair? Like, who are the different contributors that have made it happen?
So it's my little company called Little Unique in contribution with from Albertine Local Board. Mm-hmm. So they supported us very, very much, and they actually made it all happen, because you know you need money to put something up like that. And they said, yep, okay, but you have to produce it in 2 months. So the deadline was quite soon. And I think that's really helped as well. When you really have to do something quickly, you actually do it.
Totally.
Yeah. So they really helped. And then all the artists, obviously, they've been very big supporters. And their art is quite different from paintings to craft and dream catchers and paintings of all sorts. So it's going to be very interesting.
How did you go about approaching different artists? Like, I wouldn't even know where to start, especially in a 2 month time frame, and especially in trying to keep it within a certain location, trying to keep it all within Point Chev.
Yeah, that was very difficult. I didn't know what to do at all, and it happened by itself somehow. So Albert didn't. They've been emailing the people they know, and then people passed it one to another, and then somehow all these artists all of a sudden started to email me asking if they can participate. And yeah, so it's been probably in 2 weeks we had 15 artists already.
Whoa.
So that was nice to have all of them already and work with them. So we already had 2 meetings all together. Mm. So we kind of got to know each other and working towards it. So that's cool.
And is the goal that you you'll do this one in Point Chev, and then you'll move to different locations?
Yeah, so yeah. The goal is that. And then hopefully, as I see it, is going to grow in something bigger than that. It's going to be like an annual festival where you have all of the artists from all different areas in one place, in one location. But for now, just to make a name, we're going to move from one to another and probably have 4 a year. In different locations, like Devonport, Takapuna, Kingsland, those areas that are quite interesting. And then take people out of the city, because lots of things happening there already.
Mm.
So we want people in different locations, traveling as well, discovering places. So, and then probably, like as I see it, somewhere nicely, like a Devonport area, and just have a big, big line full of artists the whole street. You know that waterfront area.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That is such a fantastic idea and such an amazing story. Like, I can so picture your experience of like walking to school and interacting with all the artists, and like how we can do that here, and it's going to be different. But
yeah,
how cool. What a great story.
Yeah, I started it actually at university when I arrived here, and I was 6 months only in New Zealand, and I started it there, and my group agreed to make a project on it, because you know you get the event, because I studied event management. And then you get an event and you talk about it and you make a proposal, you make health and safety and all of these documents for it. But you take an event that is already exists, but we took this one that doesn't exist and we worked on that, which really helped me now, because I've got all these documents that we made like 3 years ago and I can just develop those. So I thank you very much, my group that helped me back then at university.
Are they going to come along?
Yeah. They're all around the world now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so they probably wouldn't.
Sorry, I'm worried that I missed this, but when is it?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I didn't tell you. That's on 29th of June, next Saturday.
Oh, right, so it's
great day.
Not long now.
Yes, cool. In the week. Okay. So it's from 10 to 3 o'clock, and the weather looks very good, fingers crossed.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
We're Aucklanders. We can handle a bit of rain.
Yeah. No, it's just the art. That's what I'm worried about.
True.
Yeah. Oh, true.
We don't want rain to get on that.
Bring your brollies.
But we're going to have plastic sheets, big plastic sheets. They're going to go over the panels.
You sound like you've got everything organized. It's quite exciting. It must be after so much planning to finally be like, oh, it's almost here, less than a week.
Yeah, it's always been here at the back of my mind. And it's been annoying me, like, come on, do it.
And that's, 2 weeks is so good. Like, 2 weeks is so good to have artists, and I think that shows that, like, artists want something like this.
Yeah.
Like, people will jump on that chance, so that's like... I would be so stressed.
You look quite calm. Like, it's all good. It's all under control.
That's
it's
my secret.
The vision is coming to life.
This is so exciting. I'm so excited to come along, and I love that idea as well, of it, like, you know, having different inceptions of it in different places. You know? And it'll be cool to see the first one and then see how it changes and with that's, different artists involved.
That's the challenging one, the first one is, because that's the starting point, and that's what I'm going to refer everyone to and see, look how successful it was, and then come along and join us.
Well, we're already a third of the way into the show, so it's probably a good time to do something, talk about something that's not new, talk about a band. Oh, actually, it is new. A band, she's been around for a while, their name's Sports. They came into the studio a couple of months ago, and it was so lovely to have them on. They are very cool people, and they are releasing an album at the end of next month, and they played a show last night at the Portland Public House. And welcome to the studio, Tess Parker, to do a little review on the Sports show. I think it's actually pronounced Sports, but it's Spout, S-P-A-W-T-S. It's like Sports.
It's very creative. Yeah. We love creativity, don't we?
Are you gonna call it Sports, or are you going to call it Spouts?
Probably going to call it Spouts.
Cool.
I just think it's a little bit more fun.
If you don't keep it up, I'm going to point at you aggressively.
Okay. Sweet. Okay. I'll put $1 in the jar every time I say Spouts wrong. We went down to Portland Public House last night to go and see Sean's birthday. Are they Sean's birthday or Sean's B-Day?
They're called Sean's B-Day. I like to call them Sean's Birthday Party, which is completely wrong.
Is that a band name?
Their name's Sean's B-Day.
Because you also said, oh, we went to the sports show last night, and I was just imagining, like, some kind of, like, sports event. And so if you went to, like, Sean's birthday party and then to the sports show, it kind of sounds
totally
like a couple pubs and, you know, like a Crusaders game or something.
Totally,
So those are bands?
Yeah, they are bands. The biography that Sean's B-Day have on their Facebook is particularly good. I'm going to read it to you because it made me have a really good giggle. It says, Sean's B-Day are two rad dudes and a cute ginger chick who write dancey alt-punk songs about weird professions, crazy dance moves, and their mates. They aim to make people boogie, but also like to have a boogie with you on stage as friends. Which I thought was hilarious and also rings very true to their performance last night. They are absolutely crazy. We all went in to go and see them start to play their set at about 9:45. They started a song and it was very, very hectic. They got halfway through the song and then they went, thank you for listening. You'll be able to hear more of this song later on when we actually start our set. That was just the line check. And then they all walked off again. And we were just like, this is so Portland Public House, as Portland Public House put back on their lovely top hits.
I've got a question. Yes. Portland Public House music, a strength or a weakness?
I suppose it depends on how much you like shifting genres. I'm not a huge fan of shifting through a variety of genres in a small space of time, so I would say a weakness. But if you like dancing in many different styles in a short space of time, then Portland Public House on a Saturday night is for you.
I have to agree with that. I frequent Portland, and it's exactly that. Like, you get into one vibe, and then all of a sudden, it's like somebody started up a fresh Spotify profile without any algorithms.
Yeah,
and just hit start.
Oh yeah, totally.
But also, it not being catered at all to the genre of the bands that are playing. So like a rock band will finish, and then like Top Loader Dancing in the Moonlight will come on, and like I love that song, but it's just a bit weird.
Well, I live up the road from Portland, so maybe $5 door entry in one genre that everyone will collectively choose.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Sounds all right.
So what are you going to call your... Have you got a name for your new...
Yeah, closes at 10:30.
Closes at 10:30.
Sounds great.
Business venture. Yeah.
And me there. So during the actual set, not just the line check of Sean's B-Day?
Yeah, they're awesome. They're just such a cool... cool young band, big vibe. I would love to see where they get in a couple of years. The set was a little bit rough around the edges, particularly in comparison to Spouts. But yeah, very cool band, and the whole place, which seemed to be quite a good mixture of their mates, but then also just people walking in off the street, and everyone was getting into it, which is a good sign.
Quite
and
danceable.
Very danceable. And then Spouts were just awesome, just so cool. One of those bands that I'm a little bit familiar with their content that's up on Spotify. They've got a couple of great songs. One of them is called Piss in the Wind, which I think is hilarious and is just such a banger of a song. Banger and a half.
Wait, say that again?
I will not say it again.
That's their latest track, and it's actually done super, super well. Because I heard it and I was like, this is a banger. I heard it on BFM. Sorry, Tess, could you just close that door? Because there are people in the hallway.
I would love to.
Their voices are coming into the studio. Thank you, all radio listeners, for hearing this little behind-the-scenes moment.
I'm back.
But, yeah, it's, like, done quite well commercially on stations that I wouldn't expect it to, which I think is a sign of a really, really solid song.
Yeah, totally. They've got some really great music, but I feel like the sign of a good band is when you go and you see them and you're not really that familiar with their content, but you are excited for every song that they start playing because you know it's going to be another great song.
Yeah.
Everybody was losing their mind, jumping around the place. Huge vibe. Yeah, they were great. And one thing that I will say about Spouts is they have great merchandise. Mm-hmm. Very cool t-shirts. I'm sad that I didn't buy one. I forgot to.
I wonder if you can buy them... Let me just do a little squiz if you can buy them on the...
Can you describe them as somebody who's in the market for merch making?
They do crisp white AS colour shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, and the one that they were... Yes, Georgia?
Sorry, just if you're about to describe the old one that I have, they're totally out of them. I literally took the last one. Yeah, cool.
Sweet. So all the design is this cool sort of kind of scary black and white cartoon of a TV, and then this kind of gremlin man, and his face is in the TV, but the rest of his body is not in the TV. And they were selling him for $20, which was a bargain.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Very
love
good.
Love good merch.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Should we make merch? Merch at a theatre show?
I can design that.
Thank you, Freddie.
Would anybody here not buy a white T-shirt? That's a debate we've been having, whether to go white or just stick with black for safe zone.
I think you need to do two. But the tricky thing is...
Nobody would buy white.
Nobody... Freddie's pretty confident that nobody would buy white.
I've been told that I'd be surprised. I mean, I don't have a horse in the game because I mean, personally, to be fair, I only wear black, but I also understand that that's probably not that common.
I recently also had this... question on my mind doing all of the merch ordering for Smoke Free Rock Quest this year.
Yeah.
And we ended up doing, because what we were printing is in fluoro colours, so we realised that we could do black and white. We're using the same screen because it's just like absolutely not like sustainable or cost effective to be doing multiple screens, to do multiple coloured t-shirts.
No.
Yeah. So we did a range in black and white. Black definitely sells better. But there is an interest for white also.
Okay.
I did not help that at all, did I?
No, that's fine.
For the record, I would buy a white t-shirt.
What about singlets? What do you reckon about singlets?
For females, maybe.
Well, either.
Yeah.
I live in the snowy mountains. Singlets are cool for me, personally.
I've found hoodies to be incredibly popular.
Really?
I've done a small run of hoodies this year, and we've sold more hoodies than t-shirts.
I thought that was a very 2007 thing to make for your merch.
People love them. People love them.
Okay.
What about a beanie?
Yeah, beanies are good, or snap caps. Although our singer, he used to be in that band Stereogram, yeah. like way back in the day.
Something like that.
No, that's Supergroup. Oh, Stereogram was a walkie-talkie man.
Good one, Mum.
Oh, hi, Karen. Fair enough. You're thinking of Scorpio Girl.
Scorpio Girl, yeah, okay, that was a good time.
And he, the other day, he brought out a bag full of Stereogram trucker caps that they didn't sell. Although, to be fair, they sold a lot of them. So it's probably a product of the times, you know.
Mm.
A beanie. I'll sell beanies where you're from, and I'll sell singlets.
Yep, palmy. That'll be cold.
Yeah, that'd probably work.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it goes.
If you do well on the singlets, let me know, because maybe I will do a run of singlets. You know, trial and error. We'll help each other out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky game, this merch game.
Yeah, I know. In fact, I've been researching... how to DIY screen printing. It's not that. Has anybody done that? Have you?
No. Just at university, art students would do that. So
really?
If you really need to go, you can go to AUT or someone and ask them.
Yeah.
Because there is like a lab that they do all this, and they need real life projects. So they would love to do that.
That's a good lead, yeah. Mm. But you need the right lighting, and apparently the... would you call it a paint or an ink? Is it an ink?
Ink, I guess. Yeah.
And it dries really quickly, super quick in the light. So there's a trick to it. You got to have the right room, but that might be a hobby some of us could pick up. And if you do, let me know, because I'll send through some designs and some options.
Nice. I'm one of those people that if you give me a project, I get really, really enthusiastic
for
about
same.
5 days. And I just had a moment of being like, I could learn how to screen print.
I've
already got quite a few like 5-day projects I've already picked up, but if you maybe send me a text in a couple of days, when I'm finished those 5-day projects, I can do 5 days worth of screen printing for you.
Yeah,
5 days is pretty good. If I'm not good at something immediately, I'm like, no.
I'm so excited to learn. I make funny noises when I've learned something I'm really excited about. But then once I've kind of learned it, then I can do it like.
But then different funny noises up there.
Yeah. It's like kind of this weird kind of grunty McGrunterson.
Hey, Georgia.
Yes.
I was wondering if I could do a pre-review, as in a review before a show's actually happened.
Yeah.
So that I can request my favourite song at the moment.
Yes.
So my pre-review would be for a show that's happening next Friday night at Galatos, which is a great band called Minnie Simmons.
It's not next Friday.
But the Friday
after.
It's the
26th of July.
Oh, so there's a show that's happening on the 26th of July.
You are so keen.
And that's how keen I am. The reason why I'm so keen for this is... It's your birthday on that day.
Aww.
Happy birthday for that day.
Come along. This could be your birthday party. The reason why I am so keen on this particular song and want to do a shout-out for this particular show is I got the joy last night of seeing one of the guitarists in this band belting out some karaoke on K-Road, and it was such a beautiful thing, and I've been jamming this song all day away with Murder.
Which is actually... I know a lot about this because I actually do the publicity for this band, so this is actually very good. You brought this up. I didn't expect it at all, legitimately.
Yes.
They are releasing an album on the 5th, and they're doing a show at Holiday Records, where Holiday Records are doing pressing their vinyl, this album onto vinyl. It's the first lot of vinyl to be pressed in New Zealand in over 30 years.
Really?
So it's really exciting that it's in a commercial setting. I'm sure people probably do it like on their own. Like as a hobby, right?
I don't know if it's that easy. We know actually a friend of ours just got vinyls done, and the way it works is you have to make an element. I'll say aluminium as a stand-in for whatever metal it is, but they make this metal master. Then they're in Italy. Then they had to fly it over to New York to get actually printed, but it goes off or something. Like it's got a half-life of like a day. So they have to get it across the world as soon as they can, or else it's just bust.
Wow.
And I'm probably fudging the numbers, but
no,
regardless, it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's not a hobby either you or I could pick up for 5 days and put down again. Yeah.
Okay, so then maybe makes a bit more sense that nobody's done it in New Zealand for over 30 years.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that they're doing it's actually really cool.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Holiday Records, they're a little company working out of Auckland City, and they like Minnie Simmons so much that they've pressed this record, which is so awesome, and they're going to do a little album release there on the night of the 5th, so that's Friday, in not this Friday but the following. So I'll see everyone there. I'm going to dance and dance. Tess, so you're wanting Away With Murder?
Yes, please.
All right, let's do it.
We'll be right back.
was two songs. That was Away With Murder by Minnie Simmons, who have a tour coming up, if you thought that that was a toe-tapper, because it definitely is, so shows are going to be amazing. And then after that we had one of the tracks off the new Dead Favours album, Misbehaviour, and that was Luxembourg. Could you tell us the story behind that song? It's a beautiful song.
Oh, I think there is a story behind that song. So the way we like to write our music and the way we've done it in the past, even before this album, is there's a cottage and it's very remote. John Lack and the Exponents used to use it back in the 80s. And I'm good friends with Jordan, and he recommended it, and so we hired it out. And it's so remote. It's in the middle of this forest, and we lug all of our gear down there. And for a few days, we just clear out the house and write in the living room. And one of the nights we... and, of course, because if you're four guys away, you tend to... take a few beers with you and whatnot, you know. So we it was late in the night, and we'd probably thought that we'd given up writing for the day, and so we're well into the next section of the evening. And we stumbled in and started playing, and we played for another 4 hours or so, and near the end of it we were really on attraction, you know, because a lot of us play instinctively, so there's a lot of, you just start and it's a song, you know, and we're very fortunate to play with great musicians like that. There's not a lot of, like, sit down and figure out. There's a lot of spontaneous playing.
Mm-hmm.
And near the end, we got to the point where we were playing this game where we'd have to take a shot of tequila every time we made a song. And we might have been 10 or 11 shots in by the time we just started playing that song, and it's largely unchanged from what we did. So it's a song that was very spontaneous in a very unique frame of mind. it's a product of its time. The name is entirely unrelated. We actually name all of our demos after places, so the other songs were called, like, Russia and things like that, and Luxembourg just never changed. It was just, we just didn't bother renaming it.
And you, so you've, I asked you what song you would like me to play, because I wanted to play one more of the Dead Favours songs just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And you picked this song. Why did you pick this song?
I mean, we have released the first single, Misbehaviour, which you played earlier on in the evening, and that's currently on The Rock, and we've had a lot of songs both across Hierarchy and The Rock in our career, but I don't know if that song will ever be a single, ever, you know. It's, and we've only ever played it once, which is at our album release party, where we played the whole album from start to finish, otherwise we'd never play it.
Mm.
So it only really exists as a song on the album, never really live or on the radio. So for that reason, I figured, hey, maybe give it its spotlight.
Just a little sneaky, cheeky, nice present for people.
Yeah,
I don't know why that came out of my mouth that way.
No, they're cool. Yeah. I think it's a very unexpected. It's the last song on the album. It's a very unexpected turn from the song beforehand, which is quite heavy. So yeah, it's a little surprise at the end to tie up the album.
How do you go about selecting the songs that you're going to put on the album?
Oh my god! So our producer, he's Tom Larkin. He's from Shehad,
mm-hmm.
and he has worked for 30 years now with, like, some of the world's best producers, and he has taken all of that. This is relevant to your question. Taken all of that experience and grueling methods to his own production work, and really what it comes down to is for every one song that goes in the album, you have to write 10. So we didn't quite make it. I think we wrote about 70 songs. And then
70 or 17?
70, so 70. Just over 60, yeah.
That's prolific.
Yes, it was a very, very difficult thing to do as an artist. Mm. But we got there, and you play all of them to him, and you actually vote on them, and then he puts his vote in, and the ones that have voted the highest get workshopped. Yeah. Then the others are really just cut up and put into songs if they work, if they don't. So it comes down to writing 10 times the amount that you put in the album and then just choosing the best.
Mm. Is that quite, for want of a better word, like emotional? Like that you put this time and love and energy into creating these songs, and then kind of this kind of culling process.
Then you have to kill your musical children.
Yeah.
Yes. Although it's for some reason it's not, because you can see why it doesn't work, and you already have to make allowances in a band where you've got four people, and those are all four individual individual tastes and opinions really on what it is that makes a great song. And so sometimes there's songs where you're like, oh, I'm just going to have to live with this one, you know, and others you feel really strongly about. I think even still, there's a lot of songs that at least some parts of it or in some kind of aspect of it has made its way into another one. But the more you develop as an artist, the more you realize how much you're growing, and then in that respect the byproduct of that is seeing your old stuff and kind of having a laugh about it, you know. So there's on one hand, yes, but on the other hand you kind of look at those other songs and kind of be like, man, why'd we ever write that? Or man, that's such a, we can make jokes about it, like what song should we put forward for Silver Scroll Awards, you know. And then we'd be like, put forward like Sleep When You're Dead, you know. We're like, oh my god, don't ever bring that song up again, you know. So yeah, you they get stale, and it's fine, it's a part of it, you know.
I know. Is it a common thing for musicians to write 10 songs over one?
No, I think it's a method that works for us, but a lot of bands will write 12 songs and then just put them on, those 12 are on the album. And you can do it that way, but I think that you find the best of your sound through putting that kind of time in, you know.
Productivity.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like a full song. Sometimes it's just like an idea, whether it's a verse in the chorus or a feeling. I call it a flavor. Like there's the flavor to the songs there, and then a lot of the time you'll write that in the studio, you'll finish it off, you know. So it's not a completed song that you play live, but
like sketch.
Yeah. No, it's not a usual method, but bands that work with Tom, it is. So Villainy, they'd be doing the same, and I don't know if you guys have heard of Decades, they do the same.
Mm.
So it's one method, and it seems to be one that Sheehard have to go through, so we went through it as well.
I think it's as well, you know, like those the names of Dev Favors and Villainy and Decades, like these are successful bands, you know. These are bands that are really active and that are putting out really great music, so it seems as though it's probably
it's a hidden method. And I know Baker's Eddie, have you guys heard of Baker's Eddie?
Yeah, they are cool.
They're awesome, and they're another one of Tom's projects, and we actually stayed with them in Melbourne for a while we were recording half of it in Melbourne. And they still in their fridge have like a list of like 150 songs that they wrote just to get the album done. It's just mind blown. Yeah. Wow. So there's a lot of creative energy that goes into it that you don't see in the end. You know, I suppose it would be like painting. You know, you'd paint something and halfway through you'd see its potential or not. And you'd have one sitting at home that you wouldn't take out to a show. And I guess like anything, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to be really critical of what you're doing and why you're doing it and why it's your voice. And I think I found a real similar thing with writing Aroha as a Māori. I just sort of poured everything out, and it started out like something like 7,000 words, and it's you know, you just cut it down and down and down. And then working with my sister Amaria, who's the director, just should be really questioning me, like, what are you trying to say here? She knew what I was trying to say, but was it important? Is this what you need to have in here? And we cut it like less than half of it, you know. So it's part of and the I process. Had already thought that I had already edited it down a lot, but it was really great, almost like working with a band, to be able to have that to bounce off and pare it down to its bones to, create something and tell a story or a song in your case.
Yeah, no, it's definitely part of the process. And I feel for Jared, he'll be the first one to admit that he battles to write lyrics, which are probably very similar to writing dialogue, you know. And he has to have a lot of help with that. And you need that input, right? You need somebody else to offer their opinions about it, I think.
And also to be able to justify something if you are really committed to it and you like are really attached, to just be able to just go, yeah, this is what I'm saying. Mm. And then it solidifies it for everybody, and including yourself.
It might highlight as well that the message wasn't portrayed in the best way, you know. So it's like, oh, that's a brilliant message that you're trying to get across, but I didn't get it from that line. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm too close to my project, you know.
That's right, because you can get into that zone of just like a tunnel where you're just going down and you're like, is it,
yeah,
what am I doing? And you're just like you were saying, you are so together with just the few people that you're working with. And you're gonna be taking it out to the world, like you just had this Friday, and it's kind of like setting your baby free. So it's good to have outside opinions before that happens.
For sure, yeah. But everyone's opinion's so frustratingly different, you know.
Yes.
We've released songs in the past where everyone was like, "Oh man, that's the single," you know, like you gotta go with that one, and then you're like, "Well, didn't really do that well," you know. Then try again, and then you stick to your own guns, and that one does better. But then the next one that you stuck to your own guns doesn't do well. So it's a shot in the dark in so many ways, you know. But that's definitely good to. You can't get too close to it, or else you don't really understand how somebody else will.
You sort of bring it close and then let it go.
Yeah,
bring it close again, and then like let it go exactly, and then it just develops. And that's collaboration, and that's one of the coolest things about the creative, you know, whatever creative space you're in, is collaborating with people, and then like, nah, don't like your idea. We shouldn't collaborate together.
Yeah.
Or yeah, we're vibing. We're on the same, like, you know, zone.
Totally.
We're always like that when we're on the phone. I'm like, oh, so I had this idea 2 days ago, and they're like, I had that idea.
Yeah, it's quite great to feel on the same wavelength. And scary sometimes, because you're like, is everyone else going to be on our wavelength? But I think you just trust it and go for it.
Yeah, it's hard to, because sometimes, I mean, I'd write a full song and then you have to push it through one filter or another, you know, like you got to put it through the producer's filter or the other band members, then it has to also become their thing, and it's so hard to share the input, you know.
But I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
It's like, quite a selfish thing when you create something, for sure.
Yeah, but I guess it's kind of like getting a canvas and letting four painters paint on it at the same time.
I think it's
imagine
horrible.
That. You do a stroke horrible. And then you have to step back and let the next person do one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't want to think about it.
There's a lot of trust involved, yeah.
It just frustrates me when thinking about it.
Yeah.
No. Maybe a sculpture. Yeah.
Potentially, yeah.
How long have Dear Favours been playing together now?
Since 2016, so 3 years.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, and this album has kind of been worked upon that whole time.
Yeah, we released three singles that weren't on the album, and then, well, I mean, I would say it's taken us 3 years to get it out, only because we had to go through all of the things that you need to develop as a band before you can start writing something like that. But actually, the oldest song on that album would probably only be a year old or so, or in 18 months or so. So, more accurately, it's probably around 18 months of writing.
Just before we go, so it's almost 9:10 now. The show's gone really fast. The shows always go really fast when I'm having fun.
It'll be cool to listen to another song off the album before we go into shameless promotion.
Does anybody else have an album out that
want to? Come on, we want to hear another song.
Okay.
Come on.
Really good.
Well, can you guys all pick one based on a song name? Read them out and then we can vote on it. Okay. I don't want to pick it.
We have got On Our Own.
On Your Own.
On Your Own, sorry. Noise Beers. Disposition. Battles. Collision. Wake Up, Take Cover, Lost on You, Misbehaviour, and Luxembourg, the two last ones that we have already heard. Personally, I am leaning towards Noise Beers.
Yeah, I was going to say, Noise name Beers alone. Really stuck with me.
Okay. Sure.
Yep.
Noise Beers.
Yeah, it's got my vote.
That was
Beers absolute, for your ears.
That was a 100% consensus.
Cool.
Here is Noise Beers from the new Dead Favours album, Misbehaviour. It's past 8:30, which means a bit of swearing. So.
Brilliant. Okay.
That was Noise Beers from the new Dead Favours album, which we voted on in accordance with such a great name.
Yeah.
Where does that name come from?
Tom Larkin named it. It's obviously just means beers for your ears. And it's a spin on that. Yeah, Noise Beers. So it's just, it's audio beers, I guess. Beers for your ears. Noise Beers. Another demo name that we just kept because we thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably meant to be called Overpopulated or something, or one of the other chants. But no, Noise Beers, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we all voted yes that it was the best name.
Yeah, I think it is the best. It's the best name it could have been as well, really.
You heard it here first. Noise Beers is the best title off the new Dead Favours songs. Cool. So we are going to go into shameless promotion in a couple of minutes so that you can get all of the details for the things that are coming up and the music that we've listened to tonight. But before that, Maria, I would really love to hear a little bit about this little unique, this company that you, this business that you own, that's your thing, that you are putting on the Art Street Fair with. What is that?
So the name came as soon as I finished university. We started to paint windows for galleries and shops to complement the exhibition in the gallery, for example. And then me and my friend Alex, she was with me, and then she unfortunately couldn't carry out because she had other things to do, other commitment. And so we sat down and decided how we're going to call the company and what are we actually doing. And so we thought of different things, and I said, oh, I like Little Prince. And then she said, oh, I like something else, like Unique. And then went, oh, why don't we call it Little Unique? So so the name came because we're quite a humble little company, and it's like started as a creative venture, and it became an agency that we run events and styling. We do styling as well. And when I say do, we, it means me, and then I find people that can collaborate with me. So I started with a photo exhibition. It's called Photo Laundry, and it's about exchanging photographs, photo, if maybe someone heard about it. Mm-hmm. So we usually do it at Salo Park, and it's been a part of White Night and summer program, Salo Park summer program, photography exhibition, Auckland Photography Festival. So lots of, part of lots of different things. And the last one was at Smiles Farm. And so it became quite an independent event that I can just bring to different areas. And that's what I'm trying to do with Art Fair. And because it was quite successful and lots of people and different agencies want to collaborate and bring it to their location that they look after. And I decided why not to do it as a my little venture under Little Unique. And so everything I do creative side, I put under this name. And so Art Fair is going to be one under Little Unique as well. So hopefully I can, you know, work with more people and be able to pay myself and pay others and make it serious and adult-like.
Adulting.
Yeah.
That is so cool. What a cool idea. And I love that as well, that you can attach that name and that organization to all the different things that you're doing as well. To like, now when I see like Little Unique, that I'll know that it's you and that it's something cool and creative. And
thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that you want to take it to different areas and have people travel there and also have the experience for those communities to have it. It's a great idea.
Naming seems to be quite a hard process. It's come up a couple of times on the show tonight, and I don't think it's ever come up on a show that I've been in before, which is funny. Just wondering if with naming Aroha the Māori, did that name come quite naturally, or was there a process around that?
It just came to me. I had heard the name Aroha said incorrectly so many times in my life in so many different places. And it's a word that everybody in New Zealand knows, whether you're from New Zealand or not. And so when I was actually naming my children, like, I really loved the name Waimarie, and my daughter, her name is Waiata, because I just couldn't bear to hear people say Waimarie. And so it's affected lots of things, and so I wanted to use a word that everyone knew what it meant, but not everyone knows how to say correctly. So, yeah, it just came. And then with the poster, I'm not sure if you've seen it, there's actually been quite a few questions. People don't quite get it. Like, she's quite a preppy character, and she doesn't look like what you would think a Māori person, if that came to your mind, would look like. So I wanted it to be really contrasting to the image on the pink image of her with this preppy thing and bow in her hair, and Aroha is a Māori. So from the outset, you're questioning, huh? What's going on? So,
To me, she looks like a Māori version of Sharpay from High School Musical.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
That's what she looks like to me.
As someone who's seen the poster and has also seen High School Musical many times, very accurate.
I don't know the character. I'm going to totally research that this week.
You should go when you go home tonight, immediately watch it.
Absolutely.
It's quite a cool name, though, because it's almost like she's trying to convince, I think, she is almost trying to convince the crowd that she is Māori. Mm. So, it's kind of like, or like convince herself.
And with coming up to the promo of the show, we had these ideas of just doing some sort of Insta story kind of things, and it's low-key turned into kind of like hassling, like people who are on Insta stories all the time. So I'm getting these messages like, oh my gosh, this is so my flatmate, or and it's just because, you know, she's showing you where she's having lunch and talking about her opinions, and it wasn't really meant to be like that, but it's really touched a nerve and people kind of get it.
She's an influencer now.
She's 100% iconic with her 100 followers. So it's been very fun to bring her to life, and I guess we all just, you know, even if those Instagram stories and Facebook stories annoy you, you kind of just are so intrigued. It's like almost a train wreck. You just keep watching watching, and you're like, what are they going to eat? Who is asking them what they do to stay perky? So it's been quite a fun exploration, really, and an extra added part of the show.
Would you say as well that that name is a reflection of kind of the concept of the show? Those little, like, behaviours within New Zealand that are, they're racist, like not being able to say aroha properly and not wanting to put in any effort, you know, that's...
Absolutely. Look, my brother-in-law is Irish, and we'll be out and there will be people who sit around trying to mimic the way he talks for half an hour, and it's like, it's cool, like we're all down, like I do it as well, I'm like, how do we say it? And it's like, okay, so you've met this person who's Irish and it seems really cool and fun to be able to like pretend to speak in an Irish accent, but you've lived in New Zealand literally your whole life and you haven't maybe tried to say taupō, because those are things we can actually pronounce. And then it becomes where I grew up on the North Shore, and it was weird. I in Takapuna, and so it was actually weird to say Takapuna. It was Takapuna, and it's just, you become the weird person for saying it correctly. And so it is definitely about a challenge to people to go, we're not all going to get it right. Like, I pronounce lots of things incorrectly, but if I was speaking in your language, Maria, I would, you know, probably be butchering it, but I would like to try to say it correctly, especially if it's someone's name.
Yeah. Because change does happen. Like, a classic example of that being Radio Hauraki. You know, like, that's what, within the last year or so, that it's gone from, it was like the branding was Hauraki. Horrible. So horrible to hear. Like, painful.
And they've just done such a wonderful job of owning it and being like, some people aren't going to be down with this, but
it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do, and we can do it.
Yeah.
We can all do it. We can have it go.
Cool. And could you give us all the deets for the show? Where is it? What is it in a couple of sentences? How can we get tickets?
Yeah, so Basement Theatre, 2nd of July until the 6th, and we're up in the studio space. Starts at 6:30. It's a one-woman show. It's comedic. It's a bit of a piss take, but also there's some real serious issues.
Real serious issues
that we all need to talk about. So you can get tickets from the Basement website, which will send you through to iTicket. Catch us on social media. On Facebook is best, Aroha is a Māori. Like her and follow her, she'll really appreciate it.
Love it.
And Kyle, your new album out with Dead Favours, Misbehaving, where can people find that?
Misbehaving, it's it lives on the internet, but it also lives in CD form, so whichever you prefer. I can give you one today, actually. We can direct them to our website, deadfavors.com, but probably actually Facebook. It's just the two words, Dead Favors. It's not an awesome band name, but speaking about naming,
like
there's so many better ones we could go, but we just gave up and
noise
we had
beers,
to do it.
Maybe?
Noise Beers is probably, probably a better one.
We like Noise Beers here.
We actually, just to segue a little bit, we had this Irish Uber driver once, and she was the loveliest lady. And as she was dropping us off, she was fascinated by the fact that she was driving us to the airport to fly to somewhere to play a show. I can't remember. And she stopped and she was like, "So, your band's called The Deadly Favors." And we're like, "Oh man, it's so much better than what we had." The Deadly Favors. Why didn't we think of that?
Sounds more aggressive.
I know, yeah. It sounds less aggressive in her awesome accent, but
that is good.
To answer your question, finally, just Facebook Dead Favors. You can buy a CD there, or just head to Spotify or Apple Music if you prefer, and search the same thing.
Cool. And people can see you as a part of the Villainy Tour, which is going to a whole bunch of locations.
Yeah, so to name the ones that are still available for sale, there's a second show in Christchurch, which you can go to. That's on the 11th of July. Mm-hmm. Ben Dunedin will be on the 13th. Sorry, Dunedin is sold out. Wellington, and if you're in Palmerston North, Wellington, the Mount, or Auckland, you're good to go, and please come.
And the Auckland one is at all ages as well, so bring the kids. Come have a boogie with me and all the smoke-free Rockwest kids. We're going to be going hard. We're going to be moshing at the front.
Nice.
With your three-year-old.
Yeah, I'll look after you guys. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
Awesome.
And Maria, if you could give us the details for your event coming up this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be beautiful weather.
Yeah. It will, I mean, the event will still go ahead. And it's going to be on 29th of June, next Saturday, just outside Point Chef Library. And if it is raining, you'll find us still there, but a little bit further on the right at the arcade, mm-hmm. Point Chef Arcade. And you can find more about the event on Facebook, just Art Street Fair. It's a page you can follow. And we also have Instagram, and the website is littleunique.co.nz. And little with triple T for Instagram, because someone already taken Little Unique before. So triple T, Little Unique.
Oh, that's exciting.
Coming to get us.
T Sparker, thank you for your review, and also something I don't think we've ever had on the show before. What did you call it? A pre-review.
Pre-review, yeah.
Where you pre-reviewed them in the show.
Thank you for correcting all the details on my pre-review. That was really handy that you knew them.
I think Tess should also plug something. Go on.
I should plug something. Oh, okay. My own personal project.
Yeah, it can be, or it can be a Netflix show you like.
Or it can be a Netflix show that I like. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm really on the spot. Okay, I've got a good one. So I own a cat. My cat's name is Keb. She's named after Keb Moe. She used to be called Tui Joking Arthur Uncle Owen Ella Batman Parker when we were kids, and then when I decided to become an adult at the age of 24, I went round to my parents' house and I picked her up, put her in the car and took her to my house in town, and we renamed her Keb on the way. And she is ridiculous. She's really old. The vet doesn't believe me that she's the age that she is, because she's too old.
Sorry, are you trying to get rid of the cat or something?
No, Keb
has a show coming up.
she's a bit gross to the extent that I've had people say to me before, "Oh, is she sooty?" And I go, "No, that's just her fur." And when she sleeps with her head completely flat on the ground, like seated pose, and then she gets tired of sitting, and her head just micro sleeps until it's just ears sticking out from the side of her head. You could see this if you really wanted to. How? You may ask, shameless plug, if you go onto Instagram and type in Keb Cat, my cat has a...
How do you spell Keb? K-E-B?
K-E-B.
Keb Cat on Instagram.
K-E-B-C-A-T. It's pretty good. And our flatmate...
I actually only follow cats on Instagram, so this works
that's
really
well
with my Instagram usage.
Georgia has now started playing Keb's namesake. To take us out, Keb Moe,
more than one way home. Thank you everyone for coming in.
Yeah.
It's been a really fantastic show.
Thank you.
If you are listening to the show and you would like to come in and talk to us about something in the arts community that you are doing, send us an email on kickouts1@gmail.com and the absolutely incredible Marianne will send you an email back and we would love to have you in. Or you can send us a message on Facebook. If you don't already, give us a like on our Facebook page. It is Kickarts, K-I-C-K-R-T-S. That's how you spell it. We've gone to the end of the show. It's been a great show. Thanks for having me back, everyone. I'll be back in a couple of weeks again. And until then, you'll be left in Marianne's very capable hands. If you would like to download the show, it'll be available from Planet FM, their website, 5 minutes after the show. Go out into the community this week and kick some arts. And in the meantime, I'm going to take you out with more than just One Way Home. Gebmo going out to Tessa's shameless plug, her cat's Instagram page.
Brilliant.
So, a first.
Working weekdays after school from 5 to 9. And Tommy, John, and Charlie were the neighborhood stars with their mid sized homes and their big fancy cars. And when the eagle flied on Friday, I'd go out to play. Wasting time with Otis out on the dock of the bay. And my ticket to adventure was a ride on the bus. Different places, but they were just like us. There's more than one.